So many people have expressed concern about me since the election of your new pastor on the 5th of June, that I feel some need to make it clear that I'm not being turned out on the street and that I will be here through November. I don't know what I'll be doing, but I do know what I'm going to be doing. I'm going to be doing the same thing I want to ask you to do, and that is to do everything in my power to help Pastors Rennick and Fox have a new beginning, a good beginning here, and a new beginning for the National Presbyterian Church. Several people have asked me if I plan to do another interim pastorate. I didn't plan to do this one. Nancy and I are building a home in Santa Fe, but who knows what God's plans might be. So, in spite of this sermon title this morning, I am not saying goodbye, not just yet, but the time does come, inevitably, when we have to say goodbye. And it is so very important to be able to say goodbye well. The early 1940s, the world was at war and many goodbyes were being said. So it should be no surprise to us that some of the finest goodbyes in film and literature should come from that time. In film, there is the dazzling and dizzying goodbye at the airport in Casablanca that Rick speaks to Ilsa. All the movie, indeed all of their lives, has come down to just this one moment, this one goodbye. They had parted from one another before in Paris, but no goodbyes had ever been said. She simply disappeared, leaving him with a rain-spattered note. And because there had been no goodbyes, both of them were left with wounds never quite healed. "I stick out my neck for no one," snarls Bogart in his Disenchantment. "I'm the only cause I'm interested in." But he does stick out his neck because there are things in human life more powerful than our hurt and disappointment and cynicism. He secures letters of transit for two people to leave Casablanca, and only at the last instant does he reveal to Ingrid Bergman that she will be leaving with her husband and not staying with him. "You're getting on that plane," he says. "Inside of us, we both know you belong to Victor. You're part of his work, the thing that keeps him going. If that plane leaves the ground and you're not on it, you'll regret it. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon and for the rest of your life." She protests, "But I said I would never leave you." "And you never will," he says. "And you never will. I've got a job to do. Where I'm going, you can't follow. What I've got to do, you can't be any part of. Ilsa, I'm no good at being noble. But it doesn't take much to see that the problems of three little people don't amount to a hill of beans in this crazy world." She begins to cry. "Now, now," he says, and he lifts up her chin. "Here's looking at you, kid." And underneath that goodbye, the theme song plays softly. A kiss is still a kiss. A sigh is just a sigh. The fundamental things apply as time goes by. That elegant and eloquent goodbye is so powerful precisely because it is so truthful. It reminds us that there are tasks which call us beyond ourselves and beyond what we want. And that loving, really loving, is more than just holding and keeping. That loving means also learning to say goodbye. That great goodbye in Casablanca so moves us because so much of our lives is spent in saying goodbye. And our ability to say a good goodbye determines so much of the way that we go through life. The essayist E.B. White was also a poet, and in a poem he wrote, "This is what age must learn about, the ABC of dying, the going yet not going, the loving and leaving, and the unbearable knowing and knowing. It begins with our first breath. From the only place we have ever known, a place warm and dark and secure, we are thrust into the cold and glare of a world that by comparison seems terribly uncertain and unpredictable. Unfamiliar hands jostle us about in shocking ways. We cry aloud, and from that moment until we draw our last breath, we train our voices to speak a good goodbye. Watch parents in the preschool doorway saying their goodbyes. It's a toss-up whether they or their children are the more afraid and fearful. We practice saying goodbyes at weekend retreats, at summer camps. Your parents' car finally pulls away. You've been waiting hours for it to go, and suddenly you discover yourself alone at college, which is just where you want to be. But except your father kisses you as you walk down the aisle, it is the beginning of so much, and yet it is also the end of something which is not easily spoken. The moving van is packed and gone, leaving you in an empty house that seems all the emptier for your memory of friends' laughter filling it. We practice our goodbyes, loving and giving up those we love as we move away, or as they do, as they grow up, and as we say goodbye to old relationships for new ones, and as those we love die. And we say goodbye for keeps. Giovanni Montini, Pope Paul VI, sounded like a man well practiced in the art of goodbyes. When near his death, he said, "I close my eyes on this sad, dramatic, and magnificent world, calling God's charity down upon it once more." As time goes by, time demands we learn to say goodbye. The Bible understands this better than we do. Once again, we see the unflinching realism of the Scriptures. Each of the four Gospels tries to come to terms not only with the resurrection of Jesus and his presence with us, but also his leaving and his absence from us. The Gospel of John does this most elaborately. Five of John's 21 chapters are a long farewell address by Jesus, a goodbye to prepare the disciples for his leaving. Our lesson today from the Gospel according to Luke is not so long, but it is just as elegant. "See, I am sending upon you what my Father promised," Jesus says to them, and he blesses them, and he parts from them. But before he leaves, however, there is this promise that in this goodbye and through this goodbye, a new power will come upon the disciples. "Stay here in the city of Jerusalem until you have been clothed with power from on high." With the good goodbye, there is the promise of power. Power from beyond ourselves. Power from on high. Jesus had said goodbye to the disciples before, as Luke tells the story. He had sent them out two by two, 70 of them, preaching, teaching, healing. "Whoever listens to you listens to me," Jesus had told them. The disciples left, went about their business, and they astonished themselves by what they were able to accomplish on their own. They returned, they reported to Jesus, and Luke says that Jesus rejoiced in the Holy Spirit. Now it is Jesus who is leaving, and Jesus promises that Holy Spirit to them. Jesus has been with them through all of it. He has eaten with them and been hungry with them. He had laughed with them and with them enjoyed all that it is to be human and alive. He's been crucified and endured the worst the world had to give. He has risen from the grave and is now off to to a place with a holy and unspeakable name to get on with a work we cannot imagine, which is next on his agenda. The disciples have their agenda also. And Jesus says goodbye to his friends so that they may get on with their tasks, so that they may get on with the work that he has given them to do. In these stories, it is clear that the disciples cannot really begin their work until Jesus says goodbye and leaves. The gospel according to John says it directly. It is to your advantage that I go away, Jesus tells the disciples. In these goodbye stories, the disciples are in the process of becoming apostles. The word apostle simply means one who is sent. One who is sent. A disciple follows a master. An apostle is sent and goes out. Like the infant who cannot negotiate those first few steaks until the parent's hand has slipped away. Like the child who cannot learn what must be learned as long as mother is standing there at the door of the classroom. Like the student who cannot begin college until her parents' car has pulled away. Like the young man, young woman who can never grow to adulthood without making painful mistakes that only he or she can make, so also the disciples will not grow into their own lives. They cannot mature to fill the robes of apostles until Jesus has said goodbye. Jesus does say goodbye. And as he says goodbye, he promises power to them and blesses them. He calls down God's favor and goodness and presence and peace upon them. Jesus leaves them so that he might be more fully present to them. He will be absent, but his spirit will be present. He leaves them so that he might be with them more powerfully. The words by which we try to explain things like this are contradictory. They snap and break with literal absurdity. But though the words will sound strange inevitably, they point to our real experience of the risen Christ. That Jesus is absent and Jesus is present. The gospel according to John whispers the secret. Jesus says straight out, I am going away and I am coming to you. I am going away and I am coming to you. Well, which is it, Lord? Yes. Yes. I go away to be with you, Jesus says. The secret is the secret of the good goodbye. Those whom we love truly and well become a part of us, remain a part of us, even as the day comes which calls us to surrender them and bless them and say goodbye to them. If Casablanca has the finest goodbye in film, certainly one of the finest goodbyes in literature occurs in a novel from the same time. In Ernest Hemingway's For Whom the Bell Tolls, the hero Robert Jordan has been fighting Spanish fascists and is fatally wounded. Underneath the pine trees, he stays behind to cover the retreat of the partisan band, and he tells Maria, the woman he loves, that she must leave him and live while he waits to die. In their moments of tenderness, he's given her the nickname of Rabbit, and what he says to her is this, listen to this well, Rabbit. He knew there was a very great hurry, and he was sweating very much. But this had to be said and understood. Thou wilt go now, Rabbit, and I go with thee. As long as there is one of us, there is both of us. Do you understand? Nay, she says, I will stay with thee. Nay, Rabbit, what I do now, I do alone. I could not do it well with thee. If thou goest, then I go with thee. Do you not see how it is? Now you will go. Now you are going well and fast and far, and we both go in thee. Not me, but us both. The me in thee. Now you go for us both. We both go in thee. That, in some sense, It's what all these goodbye stories in the four Gospels promise us. The last words in the Gospel of Matthew, I am with you always till the end of the age. Mark, he's going before you. You will see him there. Gospel of John, I am going away and I am coming to you. And finally, Luke's story of the blessing at Bethany and of parting and of goodbye. The me in thee and the promise of power. And if you haven't seen Casablanca or read For Whom the Bell Tolls, that's also what Steven Spielberg was saying in his classic film E.T. when E.T. points a long, glowing finger at Elliot's forehead and says, I'll be right here. The me in thee. The good goodbye. Goodbye is such a simple word, really. Yet I cannot think of another word in the English language more important to pronounce truly and with love. Goodbye. It's just a little word. As a matter of fact, it's a contraction. A contraction of God be with you, which says quite a lot. Indeed, it says all that can be said sometimes. Your son bounds out of the house, and whether it is to his first little league football game or his first solo in the family car or an assignment flying to Iraq, you say goodbye and you pray God be with you. You kiss your daughter's cheek at her new school, and whether that's a preschool or in front of a college dormitory or even in a law school, you turn loose of her hand, and your heart whispers, God be with you. Graduations and studies and jobs and assignments separate friends. Life and death cleave our most treasured relationships. When you've carried the last box downstairs, as the moving van pulls away, as you lay a wilted carnation on a casket, as you wave your farewells, there is no word more eloquent than goodbye. And there is no hope more soaring than God be with you. We leave each other at the church door after worship today, each of us going our separate ways to live out our calling as Christians, to witness somehow to the life and the love that we have sensed in Jesus Christ, and to go places for his sake we wouldn't do for any other reason. And the word to Christ to us this day is goodbye. God be with you. Jesus led them out as far as Bethany, Luke tells us, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. No final word of encouragement, no last word of exhortation could be more powerful than that. The me in thee, the good goodbye. God be with you.